Blog Talk Radio.
This is Steve at PetGroomer.com, Groomer Talk Community, and welcome to another edition. Tonight we're going to have Leal Michelle. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her in just a moment. First off, what's going on at Groomer Talk right now? We're giving away up to $300 worth of Kinchi shears. There's going to be three winners, up to $100 shopping for each one. It's so simple to enter and play. Just come on into the community. If you aren't a member, it only takes an email to join. This contest is going to run through Valentine's Day, February 14th. And so just give it a try. Very simple. Just post on the board, but we have what we call Famous Sweethearts Trivia. Every day you can play those and win extra tickets in the drawing. Contest is open for our groomers in Canada, too. What's coming up right after that? We've got, I'm glad to say, the Wall Pay It Forward Clipper contests are returning. At least twice this year, 2018, we will be having these contests. And it, again, through Groomer Talk Community. You just got to come into the message board, post a message or something on there, and every time you post a message, start a thread, what we call discussions, you get a ticket in the drawing. When you win, you get two wall clippers, and we usually have different models for each contest. I'm not sure what's coming up yet for February 15th, but it will be, of course, a wonderful wall clipper. And the two means that you get one for you, and you get another one to pay it forward. You can choose a groomer in need. Perhaps you have a local rescue, humane society, something like that, animal organization that needs a clipper. You get to choose, and we'll deliver one on your behalf. So thanks to Wall for making that possible again. Today, I want to put in here, it's January 20th. 2018. Let's get started with Leal. She's returning to the show. We last had her on in October. Leal is best known in the commercial world of the grooming as being a great source for stylist wear. Her website is retrostylistwear.com. She also is one of our bloggers at groomwise.com, which is a part of petgroomer.com. She has a pet retailing oriented blog helping groomers to do that more effectively. You also find she has articles in PetGroomer.com magazine, and we're just a couple days away from another release of that magazine, probably Tuesday coming up around the 23rd, it looks like. It's our largest issue ever. It is the survey results. Actually, a new record, over 12,000 surveys of groomers, and including grooming business owners. So you want to read that and see what's coming up. It includes the wages of groomers in all 50 states this year. And it, of course, always we take a look at what are grooming prices around the United States, including a section for Australia. And also house call grooming prices are now in this as well, separate of the regular. So it's going to be a great issue. So let's bring on Leal and see what she has been doing since we last had her on.
Who are you?
Hi, are you
Hello.
There? Okay.
I am here. Oh. How are you this evening?
Oh, well, it's been a long day, but this is the best way to end it. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad. I know you've been very busy, so why don't you tell us what's 2018 looking like for you?
Well, we started off this year with a bang. We just recently moved for, you know, those of you that don't know, I do have a grooming salon and boutique, and we moved just recently to our new location, which is just right around the corner from our last location in Hillcrest in San Diego, California. And so it's been a lot of fun. I mean, definitely a lot of work, but definitely worth it. It's been a lot of fun being able to, you know, redesign a new space and come up with some very creative and new ways for retail merchandising in a brand new space. We've got about 400 plus additional square feet and really tall, beautiful ceilings and a really beautiful storefront for our boutique. And so we've been, actually today would be our second Saturday that we're open in the new location. So, you know, every day there's a lot of work to do, you know, just to get everything to, you know, my usual Bow Wow Beauty Shop standards. But we have some really great feedback from our clientele. The parking here is so much better. Our last location, there was a historic bridge that has been under construction for nearly for over 2 years, and so we finally were able to find a space close by that is far more fabulous than our last, and so now we get to do a lot of our remerchandising and the designing of a new space, you know. And what's really exciting about that is, you know, in the beginning when you're first setting up your shop, which I did over 11 years ago, you know, I made a lot of mistakes because, you know, I was new, and that's what newbies do. And so in this new space, I'm able to, you know, avoid making those same errors and really challenge myself to design and merchandise in a brand new space and be able to get all the things that I've always wanted, such as a nice private office, which I didn't have before, so that's really exciting. So yeah. That's been a ton of work. So that's what's been going on with, you know, my Bow Wow Beauty Shop. And then in addition, of course, I have our retro stylist wear, and I'm very excited. This is the first time that I'm actually announcing that one of our designs, which has sold out consistently since we brought it to market, which is our retro stylist wear baseball groomer smock, is coming in black and white. So that's going to be a fabulous new color that we hope that it will be ready for Pasadena. So we're going to be at Pasadena, because it's, you know, about 2 hours away from, you know, our home and our home base here in San Diego. So, you know, that's really exciting on the front for retro stylist wear. And my other venture, which is something that I love, you know, it's really close to my heart, is assisting groomers in adding or improving retailing and merchandising in their own salons. You know, as you know, as you mentioned, you know, in the intro, I do write a blog about that. And then I also run a Facebook group called Pet Boutiques, which a lot of people join that in order to get tips on how to better either start or improve their current retailing in their grooming salons. And as a result, it's, you know, it's called The Art of Retailing for Groomers. As a result, I have been asked to speak at Super Zoo. So I will be there offering up my pro tips for groomers so that, you know, groomers across the country and internationally will get some additional tips on, you know, how to either start or improve move retailing to add a new revenue stream to their business to make them more profitable, in their particular area. So those are three really fun things. I don't sleep a whole lot, but, I'm having a great time. That's the beginning of my 2018. That's what's going on here.
You know, at your new location, do you even accommodate groomers that might be in the area? They could come in and see the apparel there.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm always extremely tickled and honored that, people come by. We don't get a lot of visitors, but absolutely, I'm always really pleased when groomers come by because it's, at trade shows, I'm able to meet a whole lot of groomers. And I wish I had more one-on-one time with them, but, in trade shows, it's very, very busy. So here I'm able to spend a lot more one-on-one time with groomers and, go through the line and size them up and fit them and something that they're going to be really happy with, for years to come. So, yeah, I definitely encourage groomers come here. I will, hook you up with an amazing smock or smocks for you and your team, and I really do enjoy that. And I usually, give little, fun little freebies for visiting. Just because, they're like in the club, the cool kids that wear retro stylist wear are in the club. So I like to give them extra little goodies when they come and visit and, go out of their way to come here.
That's great. And before I forget, do send us a picture of the new black and white and we'll post it in the community so people can see it there.
I will. It's so fresh that I don't have it in my hands yet. So when I get it, I will
definitely do that
for sure.
All right. Well, tonight let's go a route with you and let's get to know Leo Michelle even a little bit better now. How many hours a day do you work on average?
Well, there's, as most entrepreneurs do, there's the actual time you're doing what you do. And, so I would say, generally I'm in the shop between 6 and 8 hours a day, but my off time, is going to be a lot more than that, as far as just, for example, this is my off time. right now, my off time, or a lot of times, I'll be doing research for the next new project or a merchandising piece or whatever, designing a new smock. So the creative, the research and development and the creative aspect, that kind of never turns off. So, I would say that, I probably work on average about 12 hours a day altogether, but a lot of that is just, for me to really get a good handle and a grasp on, future projects and the designing and all of that for future, projects that I have kind of en route.
So how has being such an entrepreneur affected family life?
Well, I think that I am raising entrepreneurs because, they're kind of in the family business. I don't have, they're not here all the time. Generally, my three children, when they come in, it's, we're running errands or, they might help out and they might want to make a little extra cash to do something fun with their friends. So they'll come in. So, it's a family business. And my husband, he has his own, he's a software engineer and he works full time. But when he does come, he helps me out, on bigger projects when I need a lot of help. For example, the move that we just had, I could not do it without him. So he's my rock and my backbone, and I definitely, couldn't handle my crazy busy life without him. So they're definitely part of the, family business, and, they love going to trade shows and things like that, too, with me. It's always fun for them to see just a very different world, that I get to see every day. So it's exciting, and it's fun, and when you are an entrepreneur that has so many ideas, it kind of really, it really kind of pays off because they're always thinking of ideas of, you know, how can I do this or how can we make money doing this? And, you know, so I really try to encourage that type of creativity and entrepreneurship because you never know what they're going to do one day. So I try to obviously be a very positive influence for them in that direction as well.
You know, it's interesting you mention that because now in my family life, I have a brother. Of course, there was myself. And when my mother got married to a groomer, she became a grooming business owner. But we got two stepbrothers for me and a stepsister from that marriage. And not everyone wanted to work in the business as much as I did. Yet,
right.
Just being around that, 4 out of 5 became self-employed people.
Oh,
and
wow.
So just being
yeah.
around, 4 out of 5 of us are self-employed. We may have had part of our careers where we were working corporate. My brother was a police officer, but as soon as he stopped being a police officer, he opened his own business. You know, I worked a little bit. I had some time in the corporate and legal world, but
mm-hmm.
I left that eventually, you know, but everyone,
yeah.
all 4 out of 5 became self-employed for most of their
yeah.
life just by being raised with a working family like that of self-employed.
Yeah, yeah. I really think it's contagious. I mean, to some extent, you have freedom. I mean, you know, yes and no, as we all know, as an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
you know, we get out of a corporate world working for somebody else, you know, working 40 plus hours a week to work for ourselves, you know, working 80 plus hours a week is basically what it comes down to. But, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's, you know, it allows me to be very creative. And, you know, I think I have the opportunity to give back more doing this than working for somebody else, you know, but I do well working for other people as well, but you know, there is, you know, something very satisfying being able to do it, you know, do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Interesting. Well,
mm-hmm.
where do all those ideas come from, Leo?
So, you know, generally, you know, for me, you know, I've been an artist since I was born, and whether it, you know, I've been a professional caricature artist, you know, and a portrait artist and district manager for a company that, you know, we would recruit, hire, and train across the country in different amusement parks and how to draw caricatures and portraits and different things like that. I've been in corporate retail management. And, you know, my experience has been that the more experience that you have in life, the more that you're able to see and experience and smell and, you know, really liven all those senses, it really inspires you in some way. And I call it my mental inspiration bank, because a lot of times you will have these ideas. You'll go into a new boutique or a new restaurant and you see somebody else's hard work and creativity. And, you know, those things that you surround yourself with, whether it's in your home or it's in your environment or you go on vacation, you know, I'm one of those people that I really love window shopping because it really inspires me, or, you know, going to museums or different things, because you can take a little bit of all of those and all of those, you know, really good, fabulous ideas that you see and kind of store it in your mental inspiration bank. And, you know, so really just experiencing life to its fullest and trying to live every moment as full as possible really helps to generate new ideas for myself and my business.
Mm-hmm. So do you believe there's some sort of pattern or formula to becoming a successful entrepreneur?
I do think that there's certain traits that we all have in common. And, you know, from what I've seen of, you know, a lot of amazing business owners that I've been able to meet across the country and that, you know, and just, you know, television and documentaries, and I love biopics on and biodocumentaries about people. You learn so much. And what I've tended to see is being a workaholic tends to run in this group, which I would definitely say I've always been a workaholic, honestly, since high school. And being extremely passionate about whatever it is that you're offering, it's very, I find that it's very important to be super passionate about whatever that, you know, whatever that product or service that you're offering, because, you know, there are times, you know, in recessions when the chips are down that you really need to, in order to keep it going, you have to be passionate about that thing. You know, I would say even with Bow Wow Beauty Shop, when the last recession hit, I mean, if the big banks didn't know, how is a little small business owner like me, you know, going to know that that was coming? But I just, you know, buckled down and made the hard decisions and the cuts where I needed to. And because I was so passionate about it, my business, I knew that I would be able to make it through, and I did. So passion is definitely very important. And then something that is also very important is stick-to-itiveness. You know, and that kind of relates back to, you know, what I was just talking about. It's just when things get really tough, or you've got a project that you need to finish and you'd much rather, you know, go to Europe on vacation or something like that, you have to be able to follow through with everything. And a lot of people have great ideas, but they don't have follow-through and stick-to-itiveness to see that idea, you know, that idea from the start to completion on a, you know, a product like a smock, you know. So I'll draw things on paper, or I'll have an idea in my head, I'll draw it on paper, and then I get to see the physical item eventually. And, you know, that stick-to-itiveness to get it from the start to the finished product is what I think every entrepreneur needs to have to be very successful.
That, you know, I work 5 or 6 days a week. I wrote over 500 business plans for groomers, and we have the product now to let them DIY and do their own plans. And it's always I can tell the ones that, like you say, they stick to it, they get it done. It's a big job. We've made it as easy as possible. But it's that passion, and they just plow through it, and they get it done. Nothing else stops them. Yep. And
exactly.
I can tell the ones that are going to meet the goals and do the best based on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about reading? Do you read any certain books, or, I mean, books for business or books for fun and enjoyment, distraction from everything even? What do you do?
You know, I have to say I'm probably, you know, those business owners that have met me or spent time with me know that I very much have that entrepreneurial mind that's always on. So typically anything that I'm going to be reading is going to be kind of in service to whatever I'm currently doing. You know, I have in my life had a couple of books that have been very great influencers in my life, you know, basically to be a decent human being, that I just kind of found by accident, which have been very, very positive and very inspirational. So, you know, like a couple of those books would have been, there's a book that I don't even recall how I found it, but it's called Living, Loving, Learning by Leo F. Buscaya, and it's older, and unfortunately he's no longer with us, but this particular gentleman was a professor at UCSD, and he taught a class on love. And really just how, you know, people kind of interact with each other on a daily basis, you know, in your family life, in your personal life. And his course was so popular it was UCLA. His course was so popular at UCLA that that class would fill up in a matter of like 6 to 8 minutes when it was offered every semester. And so there was a lot of really good takeaways, you know, for family and things like that. So that's been a really good influence in my life because it really kind of, you know, gives you a you know, a different way of looking at people and having more compassion for everybody in life. So, you know, I tend to be pretty compassionate for, you know, for everyone, and I've always been that way. And that book definitely, you know, assisted in that as well. And then the other one is the autobiography of a Tibetan monk. That really, if you... Whenever in life, you know, I have felt like, oh, this is so stressful. I've got so much on my plate. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You know, all the things that come up in life, in family life and business. And I just think back to that book and I'm humbled, you know, and I just think, you know, I've got it great. I'm not a Tibetan monk trying to escape prison, having to eat leather from my shoes so that I don't starve to death. Like if I'm, you know, where I'm at in beautiful, sunny San Diego, California, and getting to do what I love and what I'm passionate about, you know, I am so, I'm so humbled and grateful to have the life that I have. So, you know, I think that humility is something that is a really important characteristic, you know, in today's world, because a lot of people, you know, don't have a lot of humility. But I think those two things, you know, those two books have been great influences, not really related to business, you know, but I find that both those values that I've learned from those books, all the values I've learned from those books, you know, really helps me throughout my life, business, relationships, and, you know, family life. So those have been very important. But day to day, you know, a lot of the reading that I do will, you know, be kind of research and development for different projects or things that I have going on. So I don't get a ton of fun reading, you know, just for myself anymore, because I'm just so busy with everything I have on my plate, as I'm sure, you know, you well know how that is, working as much as you do as well.
Indeed. But coming up, I thought we'd talk about your pets. Now, you know, with my work, I always have them around me. They're here most of the time. They
yep.
love that I'm an entrepreneur, because I'm not off leaving them home or
yeah.
anywhere. They're with me like 24 hours a day, being self-employed, pretty much.
Yeah.
What about your pets?
Well, what kind of pets do you have?
Oh, mostly dogs. Mostly dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a forest, so I have a lot of wildlife. I mean, I'm looking out the window, and I have a herd of deer always on the property. And
that sounds amazing.
Of course, we feed squirrels and everything, but I have foxes, rabbits, everything that are just right next to the house, so that people come here and go, this is like a wildlife sanctuary to hang out. I said, yeah, well, they got it good, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, being in this industry, I mean, all of us are, you know, just really big animal lovers and advocates. That sounds
sure.
like heaven. I just have two myself, and my, you know, both of them are kind of infamous, and one of them, Pablo, he's my umbrella cockatoo. My fur baby, that Frida, a little chihuahua that you know, died a couple years ago, and she was what inspired my Bow Wow Beauty Shop. She passed, and my family, you know, right away wanted to get a new dog, and I just couldn't do it. And so instead, my husband, to bring back my, you know, my light, he bought me an umbrella cockatoo, so a white umbrella cockatoo named Pablo. And I have a lot of people in the grooming community and elsewhere that, you know, are dying to see him and meet him, because he's just a total clown. And a lot of fun. He plays soccer. He, you know, he talks. He's quite the brat. I don't know if you've had any experience with cockatoos,
sure.
but they can be, you know, quite bratty. And he's definitely no exception. So, you know, he's got his quirks and his little antics, but he is a ton of fun, and, you know, just loves to be, as you well know, with these birds, the you know, the center of attention. And then my new fur baby that I have that kind of fell in my lap is a standard poodle, and we keep her in show coat because that was one of the agreements with the breeder. There was a breeder that that's well known for breeding Bichons and Poodles in San Diego, and she needed to find a home for the Standard Poodle because she was formerly owned by another USA groom team groomer, but she already had several dogs and already had a dog in show coat. So she had to give her back to the breeder. And, you know, going from a kennel to a regular home and then back to a kennel, she was really unhappy. So I, with the understanding that I keep her in her show coat until she wins her championship title, I am able to, you know, take care of her, and she's a part of our family now, and she's amazing. She's, these guys, I've always loved Standard Poodles. I've groomed a ton of Standard Poodles, and I've always loved them, you know, as, you know, my clients, but owning one is just a totally different world, and I totally get why people are so obsessed with them. You know, there's so many groomers all over the place at, you know, all the shows and online and everything that have Standard Poodles, and I totally get it. They're just, I mean, really amazing. You know, they're kind of like your BFF, your security guard, and your nanny all in one. I mean, they're just really beautiful, you know, to have. Just great energy. She's so calm and sweet. And so now she's kind of the furry face of our business. So we do, you know, a lot of posts with her and pictures, and people really love her because she's just such a sweet girl. Her name is Mumsy. So I've got Pablo and Mumsy. Those are my two animals that we obsess over constantly every day.
Excellent. So what's your favorite aspect of being an entrepreneur? If we had to go, what is the single most favorite?
I would say one of the things is being able to solve problems is, you know, kind of important. You know, finding a niche or something that, you know, somebody has not found a way to solve. You know, obviously with my retro stylist, where, yes, there's lots of grooming apparel out there, but for years I really had wanted to find something that was not just fashionable and functionable, but it was really good quality so that I wouldn't have to purchase it a couple months later. So that's, you know, just finding a way to solve a problem and finding a niche that, you know, nobody is doing quite the way that I'm doing it. And then also that idea that, you know, you can have an idea, something that's, you know, just out of thin air, and being able to go from idea to an actual physical, the physical completion of that idea, that's always been just very exciting for me. So, you know, being able to think about, oh, I want to create a company where I can provide, you know, really quality apparel for groomers that's, you know, fashionable. And then being able to see that go from just an idea I had all the way to, you know, winning, you know, awards at Super Zoo, and being able to share that with, you know, just some of the most amazing groomers, you know, not just nationally, but internationally. So it's really exciting to be able to see kind of that finished product, no matter what it is, whether it's something that I'm doing in my boutique, you know, where I had an idea one day, maybe, you know, groomers would, because I would get so many calls and messages and emails on, hey, I saw this post that you did merchandising this thing on, you know, Pinterest or Instagram or Facebook, and I've been following you for years. And so I finally, you know, thought, you know, well, what if maybe more groomers need to know those things, and maybe I'll just, you know, join a group and kind of, you know, be a contributor. And where that's led me is now I get to, you know, go speak at Super Zoo, which is really exciting. So it was just an idea, and now I'm able to, you know, motivate and be an inspiration to a lot of other groomers, and, you know, that's very satisfying. I feel like I'm contributing. I'm doing something good for other people in this world.
Great. So that's very satisfying. Would you say that's what's been your most satisfying moment that you think of in your business career?
Most satisfying moment. You know, I have to say that it wouldn't be something singular. It would be when I get to, you know, meet somebody in person that I've been able to affect them in a really positive way, even if I didn't know them, you know. So, you know, I don't know, you know, a lot of the groomers that, let's say, you know, I've never met them in person in the groups or when I'm at trade shows, but they'll come up to me and say, hey, you know, years ago, I called your shop and I asked for your advice, and you were so nice and you didn't put me off and you gave me a ton of information, because obviously sometimes I can be a little bit of a chatty Cathy. And so they'll tell me, you know, that left such an impression on me, and I wanted to tell you when I finally met you that I really appreciated that. And I think that, you know, if, you know, that's kind of should be everybody's goal in life, to kind of leave this place better than, you know, better than when we came into this world. So if I can be a positive influence to anyone, that's the most satisfying for me. I'm definitely a people pleaser, so being able to assist somebody in making their dreams happen or make their goals you know, come true, then that's really, you know, it's that moment that happens a lot more often now that, you know, I'm getting older and I guess I have a lot more experience, so that, you know, I'm able to share, you know, have those moments because of, you know, the experiences that I've had and kind of pass that on. That's always very exciting for me.
Yeah, you know, my mother, when she wrote From Problems to Profits in Grooming, and we started out self-publishing, and this is, I'm going back to even before the internet was around, that really helped assist to go back to the old days where you didn't have the internet. It was a whole more difficult to market something, but enjoyed taking some of the calls to take the orders that would come in. And I would find the average phone call was about 1 hour, because they would just get talking with her about the business, and they would just say, that was like a consultation. I told her everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, you know, I'd come back, still on the calls. But they just loved talking with her, and that's just the way she would. She would share her success and her ideas and just forget herself and just help people with whatever was at hand that she could help them with. And, you know, and that carried her, and it made her feel good about herself. So that was one of the things she enjoyed the most.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this world, this grooming world, it's a really unique niche in the world. And so when you kind of meet your kind, you know, you go to a trade show or you're out and about and you meet another groomer, you can't help it, because there's not, you know, if you think about the world as a whole, there's not a ton of us. You know, and so when we meet each other, it's hard not to, you know, relate to one another that way. So that's how you can, you know, just, you know, get to talking, just chat away, and, you know, hopefully you can leave a positive impression on them.
That's right. So what do you like most about being the groomer side of you?
The groomer side of you, of me? Well, I would say, you know, the thing that I've realized, that not just me, but, you know, my kind, you know, all across, you know, the nation and internationally, is that groomers, and how I've learned this very well, is groomers tend to be some of the hardest working people I've ever met. And they tend to be very down to earth, because after all, we're washing dog butts. I mean, really, I don't care how, you know, how high on their horse somebody, you know, thinks they are, or they're famous in, you know, the grooming industry. At the end of the day, we're washing dog butts. So, you know, having that, just being that kind of down to earth type of person and just hardworking, because this is a really hard job. So you have to, you know, work really hard, and it tends to kind of flow over into kind of just who they are as a person. And how I've learned that is that, you know, when I go to different trade shows across you know, the country, I've had to do call outs asking for help, you know, at the trade show booth. Obviously I can't do it myself. And you know, and it's the beginning. I'm still, you know, a young entrepreneur, young business owner, so I don't have the corporate, you know, corporate funding to fly people and hotel them all over the U.S. So, you know, what I've tended to do is just do a call out, specifically looking for groomers to help me in my trade show booths, and pay them a decent amount for missing grooming, you know, by working for me over the weekend. And I've never been disappointed having a groomer work in my booth because they're all so hardworking. And, you know, that's something that I think that we all have in common and that I really appreciate of groomers when I meet them. We all know how hard, you know, this job is. And, you know, if I can at all help to, you know, have kind of our profession and our skill set, you know, highlighted and, you know, and made more important, you know, in the world at large, you know, and people understand and respect how hard and how talented you've got to be to, you know, to do well in this profession, then I'm happy to do it, you know. So that's what I like most about groomers and being in this industry for sure.
And one very common characteristic they have that shows that hardworking is how many of them really take a lunch half the time. I mean, you have to be very disciplined on lunches are important. I do them because most groomers have a burger in hand and a brush over here or something. It was very hard.
Right.
When I worked in the sort of corporate legal world, I couldn't wait for lunchtime. You know, you just needed that break to get out of the cubicle and whatever.
Yeah.
But for a lot of groomers, it's, I mean, some even skip lunch. It is very intense mental and physical work.
Yes, it is. You know, I thought I was going to go have lunch today, but nope. I have a packet of this green energy vitamin drink and nuts, and so, you know, so a lot of times I'll tell myself, oh yes, I'm going to go have an excellent lunch today, and it almost never happens. But I've always got my backup snacks and stuff, so I don't turn into a monster when I get home. And so, you know, and so usually the only time I actually eat a lunch, and I find not just of groomers but entrepreneurs, I have so much on my plate, even if I'm not grooming, that I just don't have time. I don't have time to eat, so I always have some snacks stocked away somewhere. And the only time I really go and take a lunch is when somebody visits me, you know. So that's always a treat for me. It's like, yay, I'm gonna make time for that person and go have lunch with them. They think that I probably do that every day, but it's very rare for me to actually do and go take a lunch with somebody. So I'll do that for a visitor, you know. That's a special treat for me too.
Do you have some hobbies?
Hobbies. Yes. I'm trying to think. You know, I've been an artist. I've been an artist all my life, and you know, an artist and a designer. So that tends to be in, you know, in there. So you know, I've for example, I lived in Italy for a couple years, and also in New York City, where I've always loved painting and sculpting and figure drawing and drawing caricatures and different things like that. So I've, you know, shown my work in Europe, and then also had my own caricature company where we would, you know, do you know, private parties for corporate events and private events. So art in some way is always a part of my life. You know, so a hobby would be, you know, my kids want a really good, you know, costume for Halloween, and I'm the go-to for face paint for everybody in the family. And, you know, or, you know, I've got a good bar trick with drawing caricatures now. So, you know, as long as you don't get offended, I could draw a caricature of you, but the point is I'm going to make fun of you. You know, that's what makes it really fun. And then I guess, you know, just being with my family and, You know, we, in the last year, we went vegan, my family and I. And as you can imagine, there's a whole lot of cooking and from scratch and lots of vegetables and grains and fruit. And so a lot of that we're kind of, you know, teaching our children nutrition and how to cook those things so that they can have that skill set. So, you know, kind of entertaining and cooking together as a family, we do a lot of that because, you know, it's the first thing your kids want to know when you get home is what's for dinner, and you know, or when you pick them up from school, what's for dinner, and so you know, you got to get creative. You don't want to eat the same thing all the time, and also, you know, eating vegan, you definitely have to be very creative. So it's been really interesting, and you know, our eldest daughter, she can make. Her cooking skills are just unbelievable. She can make a homemade New York style bagel from scratch. She actually made that for us a couple of times, and it is excellent. It is amazing. So, you know, just kind of not limiting, you know, their ideas in their head of what they can do by themselves. And, you know, also, as you know, having the internet is really amazing because I'll just tell them, oh, you don't know how to do that? Go look on the internet. Google it. You can Google anything. You can do almost anything now. You just got to Google it, you know. And so, you know, really entertaining cooking and spending time with my husband and family is really hobbies of mine. And I really love interior design and flipping real estate, you know, when I have time. So yeah, those, you know, which again, goes back to art, because it's art and design, right? So kind of related.
Sure. Yep. Well, there's an artistic streak in most groomers, absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. My very similar to my mother, and the other thing she enjoyed was real estate. You know, when mm-hmm. she finally got her business and fully staffed. And really set the standard on how you do that, because, you know, in ours we were doing even up to 100 pets per day, but in two
oh
shifts.
Oh, my goodness.
We got so busy, but she knew how to manage, and she'd still be there. But, yeah, and it was done so humanely. It defied everyone saying you can't do quantity with quality. Let me tell you, there, and we weren't even advertising, and we had some of the names of Silicon Valley coming in there, but... And every pet was done fully hands-on, and she just defied everything because she was
wow.
the sweetest thing to animals, and
mm-hmm.
she gave much of her income went to every animal welfare of any kind of creature and all.
Aww.
But anyway, but it was always, if she had some free time, she'd like to go to the museum and look at art or
mm-hmm.
read magazines about art or remodeling homes. Yeah,
because it's all art related. Most groomers
yep.
are very, very creative, even if they don't know it. They are, you know. A lot of them
exactly.
say, "Oh, I'm not creative." It's like, yes, you are. You wouldn't be able to do such a beautiful job on that dog if you weren't, you know.
And that's where some bathers, you know, you'll get to know bathers, and they don't know they have that creative streak. And the reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we had on the job training for most of our groomers, we almost never had. You know, one of the hardest things to do today is to find really good groomers on an employee basis and for them to last.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
but so she invented on-the-job training way back in those days. But one of the biggest differences, I think, between a bather, because we had bathers work for us, one 17 years, one 12 years, and that's all they wanted to be because they didn't feel they had the creativity in them to
mm-hmm.
demonstrate that by doing the styling. And that was the number one difference between them.
Right.
But we also
yep.
found a lot of them became very good supervisors. So she created
mm-hmm.
the bathing department supervisor position for that reason. And so they even felt that they had a further career path into management.
Right.
So some of our bathers
exactly.
became actually very good in management. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Interesting, some of the links I see between you and very successful groomers and businesses and keeping
yes,
themselves
and
happy. So you sound like, to everyone listening, you've
sure.
got to It's got to be like you're a happy person. You sound like one.
Yeah, I tend to laugh and smile a lot for those that know me pretty well. Yes, I do. You know, because I just think that, it's in our, we have the right to pursue happiness in this country, which is really astounding, you know, to have that as one of our, you know, legal rights in this country. So why not have that be your goal, you know? So obviously I know that, you know, life is not a party. You know, you can work like a CEO and party like a rock star and balance that, which I do occasionally. You know, I mean, in my younger days, I, you know, partied more like a rock star than I do now, but you know, the parties are different. I've got 3 kids and we karaoke and play Wii, and you know, that's a different thing. But the thing is that the point is that, you know, I'm fortunate enough to do what I love and be creative, and you know, I'm always after that, and that makes me happy. And I try to surround myself with happy people, because happy people keep you happy, you know, and it helps you to kind of achieve that goal. And, you know, I just don't have time for the haters and people that want to, you know, suck that happiness, you know, out of me. And so I just do what I can with my family life. I mean, I think I pack my life so full with so many projects and different things, because I really understand that, you know, to really live this life, you have to live every moment to its fullest. And I really try to impress that, you know, upon people that I meet, in business and family and my 3 amazing children. You know, I want them to understand that, you know, life is, you know, just goes by in a blink of an eye. So, you know, just do what makes you happy. And, you know, it's cheesy, but it's true. You do what you love and the money will come. And, you know, that's what I think it's important for people to have happiness as an important goal, you know, to pursue in life. Because it's really, you're teaching everybody around you that how important that is. Because, you know, we've all met people that are, you know, happy people, and it's very contagious. You want to be around that person. You know, there are people that, you know, my friends are across the country that are super happy people, and I can't wait to see their face, because, you know, the next time I'm in Chicago or I'm in Hershey or whatever, because they're happy, beautiful people, and they have that same kind of pursuit of happiness. And it's hard to not want to be around those type of people.
Well, I've been very much enjoying being around you tonight on this call. It's been a very happy call, and it's nice to know
you
a little
so
bit
much.
Better. And I'm looking forward to seeing the new product, what's going to happen. But while we're talking about that, why don't you go ahead and tell people how to find your product?
Oh, sure. So for our retro stylist wear, you could, you know, feel free to go to our website, which is www.retrostylistwear.com, and obviously on Facebook as well. And then for those groomers that, you know, really want to, you know, improve or start their retail section, you can always, you know, visit us. You know, we've got a group that's like really grown by leaps and bounds this past year, called Pet Boutiques on Facebook. And that's where, you know, sometimes I'm, you know, a little dorky and I'll give a live presentation on there for people to see, you know, whether it's merchandising or I'm interviewing a manufacturer or vendor that I order from, and they give discounts, you know, and I don't get paid for any of that. I just want that information out there. I want to help other groomers to succeed in their businesses and add additional revenue streams. So Pet Boutiques, you know, on Facebook is the group. And then, of course, my blog, which I'm going to be, you know, bringing out another one really soon, which is on your guys' site. And that's The Art of Retailing for Groomers.
Mm-hmm. And for people, you can find that. Just go to the blogs when you get at petgroomer.com. Almost every page will have a link to the blog, and that's how you'll find
it. Yeah. Exactly. And,
also,
and you'll find Retro Stylist wear there too.
Exactly. And if anyone forgets what it was, just remember the sponsors are listed on almost every page now at the website. So Retro Stylist wear is up near the top, right column of the new design pages that are coming up. There's hundreds and hundreds of pages that have the link there. So if you can't remember who was that person or the website and whatever, just know it's right there. Go to petgroomer.com. You can't miss Retro Stylist wear there. So I'm
awesome.
Thank
you
sign
so much.
Off for the evening and enjoy your family and the weekend, rest of the weekend tonight. And thank you for being aboard. And send us a picture when that comes in. We'll put
I
that up.
I will.
So
thank you so much.
New one. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. You have a lovely weekend too.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.